Blog Talk Radio.
Of the turnpike. He was indicted. His wife was indicted with Vincent Fumo. We know who that is, right? The senator who stole the $17 million with his nonprofit. Well, Mitch Rubin, when they had the grand jury for Mitch Rubin in the Turnpike Commission, who was called before the grand jury was Andy Miller. The prosecutor said, is it not true that you paid Mitch Rubin $220,000 as a bribe to get the contract for the Turnpike Commission? He said, no, I bribed him for the sheriff's office title contract.
Wow.
And you can Google it, and it'll come up. You can see it. It's the guy who wrote, I'm trying to think of, his name is Isaiah Thompson from Access Philly. Not the young man who's running for council. His name is Isaiah Thompson. He's a reporter. So he has the title company. But not only does he have a title company, he's in bed with some of the major investors at Sharesale as partners in property. He also hired the auctioneer.
Wow.
Right? So he has total control over the real estate. And from the sheriff's sale, that is where the gentrification came. You saw that the tax assessments in the city there was a study done by the Inquirer and Daily News that showed that the poorest people paid 229% over the mean rate as far as taxes as opposed to its value. So they pay a higher tax rate, and the richest people pay 90% less if your property was over $1 million or more. So there's a target at poor people in taking their property. And most of those people are black. So you had a racially targeted system for tax delinquency or tax charging the taxes, the tax rate. So therefore we fell behind and our property sold at sheriff's sale. And these buyers were the people who bought in South Philly and now North Philly. And now they're coming up in West Philly. And that's what starts it. And then once they come in, then that's when the big developers come in. But one of those developers, his name is Jack Arizan. He bought Germantown High School. Yeah. They said it was worth $12 million. He bought it for $100,000. $100,000. Now they're looking into that.
Is there a case about his lawyer?
No, his lawyer is Andrew Miller, the guy I'm telling you about. He's the title person, but he's a lawyer also. Well, here's the thing. These guys are, first of all, this is one thing we don't know. Who'd say that again? Really? I didn't know that. But one of the things we have to realize, when you're in a city is controlled, just like the IMF does foreign nations. Well, when Reagan came in, he cut the bond funding for cities and made cities get their own. Your bond rating not only talked about your credit worthiness, talked about your politics. Go back to when Wilson Good, he wanted to protect seniors. They had this bill called the Unit Pricing Bill, brought on by, I can't think of his name, but he was head of the Consumer Party. Wilson Good was going to sign it. Willard Ralph said, if you do that, you will wreck the bond rating for the city. And the Union Pricing Bill is, you know how you go to the supermarket now and you're wondering, does the peanut butter cost $5 or is it $3? Because it's on the shelf, it's not on the product. So if you're a senior citizen and you're on a fixed income and you think something costs $5, but it costs you think it costs $3, but it costs $5, and you do that 10 times, right? You multiply those $2, you're $20 down, but you're not getting that. That might be a trans tax. Or if you're $10, say that again.
You
No, it's go to it. Okay. Okay. Well, that may be true. Because of the scene. Well, a lot of times too, because seniors. But here's a lot of seniors are not in, a lot of seniors are not informed. Like even when you go to a supermarket. Just give me a seat. When you go to a supermarket, you always supposed to check your receipt. Because even with that barcode, it they're still charging you. That's what I'm saying. It's $5, but you thought it was $3. So you already paid for it. You're behind. Before, you used to be able to get a little, you had the little counters, and you look at, the peanut butter, and you would count it, and it was right on the product. So, but anyway, he threatened Wilson Goods with the bond rating. If they lower your bond rating, that means that you have to pay higher interest rates for your tax to borrow money from the banks through the bonds. That's how Wall Street controls the city. Now, if you continue in that vein, then all of a sudden it calls for divestment. So businesses start looking at your bond rating going down. They want to leave, and other businesses don't come. So now you have no tax base. And what happens, your city goes into receivership. And that's when you start seeing those takeovers, like in Camden, when the states take over.
Yeah.
Like what happened in Flint, Michigan, where the actual receivers actually was the ones who changed the water system. They had a pure source of water and changed to benefit Nestle, who they wanted to sell clean water to. So we have to understand that bond rating when we talk about our politicians. Because if we don't understand that, they can be strong, but what is our financial game plan? Now, one of the things that we always advocated was the community manufacturing bill, and someone just introduced a version of it. I don't even know who it is, but we introduced this for about the last 15 years. All of the cops, prison guards, schools, crossing guards, sanitation workers, they all wear uniforms. How come the citizens can't have a nonprofit and we, the seed money, like the police get, I think they get almost $1,000 in clothing uniforms. Sheriffs, we get $750. Instead of giving us the money, put it on a card and we go swipe at this manufacturing plant that the people make the clothes, and that'd be seed money for us to start a manufacturing clothes here and fill it up. They used to have Botany 500 was made here, right? Exactly. So we've done it. And then we can even make clothes specific to neighborhoods that Beanie Siegel did, State Park. That SP meant South Philly. That's all. If you know anything about graffiti, that's South Philly. So it's been done. The model has been done. And these are the things we have to do, you know, to make our political goals based off strong analysis, as Steve Coakley has always taught us. But always remember, intention plus capability equals threat, and you have to build a security apparatus around the movement, and then you can go forward. Because without that security apparatus, they're going to come at you. Thanks a lot. When did she? I'm not sure what she knew, but I do know you have a thing called councilmatic prerogatives, and that means no publicly owned building could be sold in the city without council's approval. Right? No, anything that's owned by the city of Philadelphia, whether it's PHA, public property, school district, has to go through city council. Generally, the person whose district it is introduces that bill. So once they introduce the bill, the other council people vote on it. Most council people not going to go against something that's not in their district. So what winds up happening is Cindy Bass had to introduce that to city council, but somebody had to normally bring it to her. But the problem becomes, and this is our problem, because the same thing happened here in West Philly, the houses on Osage and Pine where they dropped the bomb, they sold each house for $1 to Ori Fidebush, who ran throughout South Philly, right? And there was a plan years ago, a lady named Miss Bryce, who used to have a beauty shop on 60th Street, said there was a plan for Penn on the Parkway. But our thing is, well, we have to be able to let our politicians know that you're not going to introduce that bill. We let these properties sit vacant for years and years and don't put a demand or just don't take them. They're in our communities for your what the bombing happened in 1985?
May 13th.
Exactly. So, yes.
For a dollar.
But wasn't it something with the contractors when they built up their money?
They messed it up. Yeah, but this is new. So what I'm saying is that they had the property, but they had to go through the council first and had to suggest that at city council. But we're not putting it. That was Jane Blackwell. But see, I'm gonna tell you, I had a developer, a black developer. Well, let me tell you about that. Now I'm gonna tell you about 4601 because I was involved in it. I had a friend of mine, London Murray, from Baltimore. He had $360 million, and we tried to buy 4601 market. And what happened was, we made it through Janie's office. She got us in the interview. He liked it. The third meeting, it was this guy from Econsult.
I'm sorry.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
There was a guy from Econsult, which is a think tank that comes out of the University of Penn. He said, no, we're going to put the police district here. We can't make the sale. Matter of fact, Dr. Onion Palmer, who's good friends with Steve, who's from Philadelphia, who did the Marcus Garvey School, he was supposed to build the school there. Congress said that was the best school in America at the time. They had fifth graders doing college calculus. They graduated 15 seventh graders a year to college. Dr. Onion Palmer, you can look, just Google it on 60 Minutes and you'll see it. He was going to build a school here because he was chased out of the Philadelphia school district and he wanted to come back with his own school. But they shot us down. And then they waited all of this time. The city bought the property for about $42 million and then sold it for $10
million.
Exactly. So, but what it was, I can't remember, they struck deals with people in the community.
Well, they said they bought it for like 10 and they put 30 something into it, and then they buy it for 10 something. And then
the issue goes out,
and it goes to all the
city did.
Exactly.
And one of the issues about that was Jamie blocked it, but what they do is, like, you have the house Negro and the field Negro. The one person that they always miss is the yard Negro. Because the yard Negro know how bad it is in the field and know how good it is in the house, and he's trying to take the house Negro place. So these people they gave money to, and when Jamie said, I don't want y'all to do the development, they turned on Jamie because they start offering themselves. So that's the yard Negro. That's the confusion. They act like they're fighting because you suppose you get elected and you try to do something good. They could come at you. They could appear all militant, but that's good to stop the public policy. But because, you know, this thing had happened and she wasn't informed the way it was supposed to go, because what I'm hearing that Jamie is not at her greatest mental capacity.
No, sir.
And matter of fact, somebody said to me,
you've been there so long, too many jobs. Well, also the same line. There's no way all of them don't know. Any bad situation,
you know, they're No. Here's what I'm hearing about Jamie. Let me say this.
She can do their job all the time.
They're saying, well, that's what they're saying.
I'm saying no.
She's been there for a long time.
She was responsible.
Same old stuff, attorney
with patients. You studied this. It was supposed to be out in the Northeast.
Exactly.
And people, she wanted it to be there, and they came talking, and next thing you know, the Youth Study Center was there. I was at the meeting when the people said they didn't want it there. Okay?
My point is, she never before was wrong about it. They tried to
survive. Well, she's not her husband. Let's put it that way.
They told me she's like that movie. You ever see Bernie Goes to the Beach? Remember, it was a movie about a dead man that he was rich and they was walking him around to give him a place, and people giving him stuff because they think the dead guy's alive. That's what they're saying. She's been around a long time. health issues, and a lot of these people, the power behind the scenes are the people who manipulate them, because they get somebody that they can take advantage of, because you got a thing called Kingmaker. Like, then you got, you ever notice when you watch Frankenstein, the movie Frankenstein, everybody thinks that you killed a monster, but nobody ever killed Dr. Frankenstein. He always builds and he builds another monster. So you have this party, I'm gonna tell you who your enemy is. It's Bob Brady. See, we quick to say a black person, but can you go after Bob Brady? Can you go after Vince Puma? Look, here's a guy who actually had his people commit a crime, pay off Judge Jimmy Moore not to run against him, right? And the FBI investigates these guys. One goes to trial, one pleads guilty, but when it comes to get Bob, statute of limitations is gone. So they can't lock him up. Well, he's talking about running for the Senate. Well,
he's
the president of Democratic City Committee. There you go.
He's got the money.
Well, David Cohen, strong money. She's right about that. Great in that analysis. You got David Cohen. And what's the other one? Jonathan Seidel. These are power plays. David Cohen with Comcast. So that's analysis, doing analysis of who the real players are in the city.
One question, one sidebar. I want to talk about it as well. The Democratic Party endorsed Joel Williams, for sure, on Monday, or a Monday, or whatever day. And then the following day, rescinded it, took it back. Are you aware of that?
No.
They endorsed them. Yeah. The actual party endorsed them.
Yeah.
But then, within 48 hours, they unendorsed them. Okay? My point is that
okay,
maybe it's very clear about party and how they actually operate.
Yeah.
They have no real allegiance to any of us in particular.
Well, you know what happened in that?
I know
the local endorsed them, but it went up national, and they were like, "No, nah. National call. What are you doing?" Because you got to understand. Well, people don't understand the biggest right now. People are looking at. The most powerful voting bloc in this country is black women.
That's right, yeah.
Black women are the most powerful voting bloc in this country.
And that's why the white females are organizing.
Exactly.
As much as they are, because it's known fact that if we were organized to a greater extent, we could really just shift a bunch of stuff. This is why we passed a couple of years in the this. Women's march in,
exactly.
And it has very little human facts in it, but that is not the
exactly.
At all. So, from what we were told, calls were made from the women's group here in Philly, and they said, if you all endorse Jewel Williams, we are going to create a big problem for you.
Exactly.
That was a part of it.
That was, I know who you're talking about. But see, also, when you understand the Iowa caucuses, NPR was talking about how they lost their value, and now they're going to the Bible Belt, where black women have voted 96, 97, 99% Republican, I mean Democrat, while white women voted 53% of them voted for Trump. So you got to look at who is really carrying the woman's agenda. Now, who you see on TV ain't who's in the street. So what's beginning to happen is the people in power starting to understand that we, to this power base, are we done? And that's one of the things that when we were talking in the office, back when they tried to shut it down with John Green, we said then the people work there. You really need a woman to run the sheriff's office. And the reason why is because there's a guy's name is Matthew Desmond. He did a national study on addiction. He said during mass incarceration with black men, you have mass addiction with black women and children being put out. So someone understanding this and understand how the banking institutions are designed against us and against black families, understanding how, you know, the legal system as far as civil law is for rich people. Because when you go to court, you need an attorney in civil law. There's no public defender. Now, you can go to community legal services, but if you're a working person, they're not going to come here and help you. And then they swamp. They have so much work to do. So now we're losing our homes. They're freezing our bank accounts. They take our real wealth from us because we don't have legal representation. Right? And then after that, his name is Coyle. He was a guy that was buying, he bought over $1 million worth of properties. He had actually $6 million worth of properties he took loans on, and he didn't pay any of the mortgages. And he was evicting people through false L&I leases, like he had a rental license. And the court is just mad, they asked Judge Bradley Moss, well, how could you do that? He said, oh, you got to fix it. How you fix it? You can't even find the people because you put them out. So these are the things that we're doing here, really all over the country, but at a local level. Who's monitoring landlord-tenant court? I went there was a lady, I probably stole that chair sale. The guy said, you know what, you can become my tenant. Paying him $1,000 a month, he called me and said, why the bill's still in my name? I said, well, that's because we voided the sale. He didn't pay us in time. She didn't believe me, continued to pay him. Then finally, she got a letter from the court that said this guy wanted to file a motion to force the sheriff to allow him to settle. I said, well, look, try to get a lawyer. She couldn't get a lawyer. I said, well, then go to court, tell the judge what happened. She told the judge what happened, but she said, well, I don't have any proof of it. So they allowed him to settle, but he never settled with us. He assigned his bid to someone else. But then he went into court to a victor. He never owned the property. And I testified in the lady's behalf. They allowed her to meet with an attorney who works in the courtroom for all the landlords. His name is Kenny Barrett. No, his name is Barrett. I don't think it's Kenny. I forget his name. But anyway, he met with her. We'll give you your money back, but he should have been arrested. But we don't have anyone monitoring these courts. When these people are running for a judge, who are they? Do you know the Democratic Party has lawyers to assist people? Did you know that you can go to your council person and get a lawyer from the Democratic Party to assist you? They can. That's how they pick out who's judge, right? If you're running for judge, you got to work for the party. So if they want your vote and we need some legal help and we want it for free, well, who you got to help this community group? And then, matter of fact, we can pick our own lawyers. That's what I would do. Hire him, Democratic Party. This is our guy.
I don't see why back in the day, you know, the church was everything. The church is if someone's kid got in trouble. I'm just saying, the church was everything. Someone's kid got in trouble.
501 package.
But no, I was bringing up that point. You know, why aren't the black churches saying, well, let's just hire a black law firm to represent them? They get 10% of the money every week.
Well, you got to look at the black law firms. I'm in the middle of a case right now. I give the black lawyer who's running for judge, his name is Sherman Thompson, I give him what happened in another lady's case. The property sold at sheriff's sale, but there was a court order that postponed it to a new date. They were supposed to announce the new date, and they never did. And what that happens is, if people don't know that your property is going for sale, somebody can get it cheaply.
Dirt cheap.
Right? So I did the investigation. I gave him, I'm not even supposed to give him the information. I'm supposed to get permission. I gave it to him. He filed 26 exhibits on this lady's behalf. The mortgage foreclosure attorney threatened him, and he walked away from the case. So even just left her handed and then told me not to call him again. So the thing about it is you have to have someone who comes up in the community and who's really looking at what's causing us to lose property is that civil court. We need to be looking at the tax sale. You have the Philly Save Your Home meetings in City Hall 676, where you have housing counselors right here in our community And they could be looking at this not by case by case basis, but looking at it from a class action basis. Right? Because class action. Because you, exactly. Because you can't fight a system one case at a time. And there's a lot of illegal things that's happening in this city. But what happens every time there's a movement is a sister named Carla Cruel. She and I, we chased this group out that was really doing black people bad called ABC Capital. Right? Chased them out of the city. But all of a sudden, the mayor comes up with his eviction tax to overshadow what work that was already done. Right? And Carla Cruel, she was about to file a RICO, a civil RICO case against this group, but they left. But they went to Baltimore. They're in Baltimore now doing the same thing in Philly to Baltimore. But they changed their name. I have to find the name, but they changed their name again. But this is going on right now. People are still in our homes. Right now, I'm talking about house theft. And it ain't the black guys that they put in the newspaper. I'm talking about organized crime. And I've done the research. I've done the investigations. I've fought like hell to get this, to get these reports out. But the issue is we have to inform our community where it's happening. We need to be going to the recorder of deeds. How are you? Are you examining the deeds? Okay. How is it that you have people who notarize their own stuff? You can't be a notarized to something that you're a party to. You have to get an independent witness. But then they're filing those deeds. There's lots of mistakes on those deeds. So we need to have be talking to these people. We need to be in the register of wills, because we have people becoming executors of estates that they're not even related to the people, taking property from the family members, right? There's also, you have, what's the other, the BRT, we need to be discussing them, Board of Revision of Taxes, we need to be talking to them about the tax assessments and make them clear, and we need to get rid of Rob DeBoe. Rob DeBoe has been the finance director since he started, I think, under, I want to say, Nutter. And he's been a thorn in the black community side ever since then. This is when they started the wanting to close the sheriff's office. And I'm going to tell you what that was about.
Okay. I just want to play something briefly. Because I'm going to come in about the sheriff. And that is that you not have a security wing for what you do, a lot of stuff still happens. So as we proceed, we're going to tell you more about our Steve Coakley study group. We're talking about the investigative questions, which is what we're going to be telling us about. We've got to do our homework. Those are the criteria we have to do certain things. But we also have to establish a certain way to it. And here's one of the reasons why. This is very brief. So I want you to do this
and also, going to be wrong. And you have a radio station, you're going to be running to the back. Who the big ass is supposed to be?
City Hall?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'll say a few things before we leave out, because it has been very brief. So what he said very clearly, and this was August, I believe, of 1985, this was his last speech, and he talked very clearly about being a black man, even though he's a politician, he's a black man first. And he told the FOP, he said, I'm not afraid of you. Ironic that roughly 4 months later, okay. Now, again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist or anything like that, but it just seems really interesting to me that people are not in particular to stand up and speak out. Something tends to happen. We got to do better than what we've been doing. Because how do we expect people to stand up for us if we won't stand up and help protect them? So again, I'm putting out there talk to women in the 21st century. I have sisters now that are licensed and armed. So Keisha and okay. Now, I'll be honest to say, that's not something I was really interested in. But when you deal with the reality of what's going on now, you have to think very carefully about what's going on. And we have cases of black women now that have been either beaten, grabbed. We just got, 2 weeks ago about the sister in Texas.
Thanks.
So we only hear about black women.
Right. In the city of Philadelphia, right? Young black girls going missing.
So that's one thing we try to develop now. It's called the epidemic. So I've been pushing that on social
media.
If people jump on board with that hashtag and continue that, we can formulate our own. We got to stop depending on these other folks.
That was done with the two sisters that were missing in D.C. A big thing went over, and
I want to send a message to the FOP. Looking at a very society, nature, such a nature that's up from our culture, our history.
our, is this our sign of session? So, that's my question.
But the Christian, from the way I understand it, means to inspire to be Christless. But inspired to be Christless, but we know we were the 16 and the 18.
In Jesus, well, we know that I'm
not
thinking about it, but when I say you spoke the question, I am.
Okay. I got you.
But, pose the question. And I believe the key to the world was Christian, but he's Muslim, whatever.
Malcolm X mentioned he was because he's black.
So we gotta, you know, keep the real by saying part of the city part. And also in the city we got all these developers going on, and we don't have black developers. So now they have went in the soup where the minority can't say. And they say under minority, they have white contractors that put their wives down because a female is considered a minority, and that's what took the contract.
So, with all that said, we can talk about what you're doing, how they're doing it, why they're doing it, why they're doing it. The question has to be,
right?
So, with that said, because, and just to go back to the statistics, you're right, all the countries, not just the Methodist churches in general, because many of your preachers are Masons.
Yeah, I know.
Okay?
Yes.
Many of them are Masons.
Yes.
Or in connection with that.
Yes.
So what has happened is, as the economy got a little strange, many of the churches said, well, we need money. So when the government didn't say, well, look, we're creating 501s for you, and no, this really started happening in the 60s. Okay? Riots were called rebellion, slant, riot. So people said, well, we need money. We're going to, you know, figure out a way to get money. So the government said, well, look, 7501, we can make the tax exempt, people can donate to you, and that way it's the write-off of your taxes. So what went with that was also other stuff.
Can't speak against the case.
It went, stuff happened. But it also began to diminish the overall movement for liberation. Because here you had the Black Panther Party, which was feeding children all over the country, right? Had schools and so forth. When this government saw that, and this was independent stuff, but when this government saw it, it did what? It started something called the Radical Right, Operation Push, and others. All of it became connected to government.
Yeah.
So while the voice was like, yeah, the party was saying, follow you people, and so on, started shifting into the same program that was offered by the government and the churches in the fact. Okay. So again, we have to see what happened in the all the struggle for I'm saying in particular, sisters, women, we have a golden excellent opportunity right now to help advance our people. Because they're not expecting the women in the system to really be intelligent enough and on point enough to do certain things. Because our women, unfortunately, are following other women.
That's right.
And so they are banking on that. They're banking that we can't come together, that we can't do, that doesn't come together. Stay on point. I don't care if you're Muslim, I don't care if you're Christian, I don't care if you're Buddhist, I mean, I don't care, but that's not the issue. The issue is fighting together against the enemy.
Let me,
that's the issue.
Let me say something.
That's the issue.
And that
we got to focus on
doing. Sister Filet was in here one day.
Oh.
And it was a sister in the team meeting that was gay. And she tried to change her whole lecture there and take control of the lecture by distracting. She might have been playing or whatever. because we have had police come in here. And we have spies, serious spies coming here at the other buildings as well as this. But they come in, they listen, you know, or they try to take away, or they try to, you know, I mean, Sister Soleil was talking about some serious stuff, right? But she tried to distract it with some lesbian and stuff. She wasn't happy. She wasn't happy that I wasn't happy. And that's not what it's about. It's about us coming together. We got to understand. We got to understand that there's a gay movement out there, but black women don't understand that the white gay movement is different than the black gay movement. But black, the only people that don't understand is black women. They don't need dope for them.
Right.
Okay. But the agenda is yeah.
And the other thing too, we're gonna move on with going back to those two corporate. Here's the other thing. What we tell people is that our struggle as a people is about what happened to us if they got hurt us this time of life. This had nothing to do with whatever your selection was on the
right.
Our people did not die. We're not enslaved, we're not tortured, we're not mutilated, we're not raped, we're not murdered because of this sex. It was because of this. So there can be no real other agenda when it comes to this. And I'm not saying who has rights, but we're not saying we're fighting based on the history of 400 years of what happened to our people. Specifically exclusively. And when we talk about our president, that's not this platform initiative. Period. We have a job and a duty to our ancestors. We have to do that. And I said, because you don't know, well, the 400 year commemoration of the first people to actually be brought to this land.
Even though some of us know already.
No toxic words. Record it.
Yeah.
See, it's important that you deal with historical facts based on fighting the kid. Okay, I don't want to argue with them about they came before Columbus. We know how to do that, and we can talk all about that. I want to talk to them about what they did. They said 400 years ago, the first Africans were brought to this land and the institution went into effect. So those who never heard that word, peculiar institution, that refers to the transatlantic. It's called peculiar institution. Peculiar. Right. And that's because if you're fighting something, you have to understand how. Now, fast forward. We're now getting ready to move forward with the work of Paul Robeson and Callie Howell, Mother Callie Howell, again, because there's a lot of talk now about reparations.
Not enough.
But it's more than what it was. And now we have more perspective because we have more information. So then, this is why
very clear.
we encourage the brothers to work with us because many of us have male children.
Yes,
grandchildren, sons, nephews. So we work close with our brothers because we need help with some of our young males on certain things. And that's what we're talking about. And that's why, again, going back to, this is, again, at least for me and others, because of his work. Because of his work, we were able to grow, develop, and, you know, be able to come to the point that we are now. I just want to share this with you briefly. Again, you see when this happened, she started something, she and others started something called the National Ex-Slave Mutual Relief Value and Pension Association. Okay? It was chartered in 1897. 1897. Okay? There's no way these people are going to be sitting here in the 21st century and asking them to go back. Okay, they have stuff already. They already did stuff. They laid the groundwork. Okay, now, I need to tell you that, and we've already made this point, this is a little different. The County House Center is in Tennessee. Okay? It's on the campus of Vanderbilt University. Yes, ma'am. So the research, a lot of the research and other stuff is at Vanderbilt, the County House Center. So we called them and we'll be going to Memphis first and then we're going to Vanderbilt to go there. Okay? So if we're going to in May. Okay? So this gives you a general idea now. As you see, they visited black churches, one of the few places blacks to organize without white interference. Mm-hmm. You see again, according to black churches.
That's why I brought it up.
Right. But they were independent then. See, so now we understand what happened.
Now, we do have a brother, but after they killed them off, his name was Pastor Stephen Dawson.
Okay. Well, let me share with you about the president of the black clergy now. We sent him a letter asking to meet with him. Because we have a campaign that's called the National Campaign. National Campaign for Elimination of Voluntary Abuse of Women and Girls After Sex. We really have a campaign called that.
Okay.
And the idea was to begin to have sessions in the church, both dealing with self-defense, prevention, information, and support. So we said we're going to contact the church and we're going to let them know we have these services available to them free of charge. This Negro hasn't responded yet.
How many women can you get together to show and on Sunday outside of the church? Wait.
That's it.
before we can expose you. And going back to this, let's see, we know about exposing people.
Traditional
instruments to fight with. They signed it in agreement.
for the school tech work to make that. I just wanted to share that with you. One of the things we're going to go back and cover is you see here, there's a book, and you can get it online, you can pull it down, you can download it. The Witch Hunt Genocide is the type of a booklet petition presented by Paul Robeson and William Patterson to the United Nations, demanding release from almost 100 years of terrorism that black people in America were being forced to endure. The petition documents hundreds of lynchings that have taken place each year since the end of slavery.
Wow. Yeah. All right, so usually when you charge somebody, you make a charge of somebody, after you make a charge, you take it to court.
Right.
Once you take it to court, it found, if who found guilty, then I'm just looking at it from, I'm just looking at it from the fact that they found OJ innocent.
Right.
He still had this head.
Right.
Right? So,
one court was criminal.
Right.
The other was civil.
Right.
And no, in international law, we have the same two operating.
Right.
You have a criminal court of international court, and you also have civil. But rather than saying civil per se, you're saying human rights.
Exactly.
It takes a little different. And this is what Brother Malcolm taught us. Remember, Brother Malcolm taught us that we have to take the struggle to the next level.
Okay.
And what did he say? That was what?
Human rights.
That was human rights. See, this was the last days of Malcolm X. This is what he said. And
Well, Malcolm was.
You got to remember that Africa was coming out of the colonial movement. And what Sister Filet said is very important. Right now, we were visiting that because China is challenging the U.S. in Africa. Now,
that's what we need to do.
So it's a very, very small window.
And you know, what would you suggest we now begin to do? I'm gonna share with you, Mr. Randall, if you are interested up here, please begin, and you can pass this around, I just have this one for now, but we started something called Black Communities United. Because what we want to do in every community is start documenting, recording, human rights violations in your community, Western, Muslim, Catholic. Document, meaning if there is an incident in school, if there is a police situation that you feel that we know is a violation, we have to document everything down. All things will be fixed. Gentrification is a form of genocide,
yeah.
It's a form of genocide in modern day terms. Remember, G-E-N usually means one or two things. Either the beginning of something or the end. Okay? It's very important to understand the dynamics of that. So again, gentrification in the 21st century is a modern day form of genocide, or we call it ethnocide.
Exactly.
The other thing for the genocide is environmental racism.
Yes.
Have you seen some of the water? You think Flint is the only place? You should see the reports from Newark. You should see the reports from some of the schools here in Philly. They don't talk about something.
Yes, you should have seen the water at the Hughes Study Center on 2020 on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Exactly. Environmental racism is a form of genocide. Gentrification is also involved in them cleaning stuff up before people start getting on the back that is in toxic. A lot of black communities know that they look
for streets.
They're replacing the pipes.
Exactly.
They're replacing the pipes. Because the pipes in many of our communities are so corroded now that they're toxic. And they've been toxic for years. But gentrification allows them to kind of decide, we're cleaning up the community because we're doing new buildings and stuff like that. Yeah, but they're also taking care of the evidence of the pipes that already exist in our community and in replacing those pipes. So that's why we notice we start seeing that the construction of the streets is also happening as well as the buildings and all that. All part of coupling of up, because in certain cities they already have began to, you know, get some evidence. They got a crisis now in New York, and they're starting to sue. We are preparing to sue local government. I think someone mentioned about it earlier. Our plan of action is not just to rally or march or whatever. We're going to do all that too, but the next step is to file that back. That's the next step for us. So we have people in Memphis, we have people in Baltimore, Detroit, and other cities that are on board with the work that we're doing. But Philly has been hard to deal with us. And then going back to the city, we will be surmised at what we need to find to deal with. It's because this is where a lot of stuff got started.
Yeah.
Sister Belay. I wanted to say one thing. When Dr. Khalid Muhammad died, and maybe Muhammad, if he was here, he could also elaborate. We had scheduled to speak about gentrification at the Y in South Philly. And Steve had to cancel because his life was under threat because he made some statements concerning Dr. Khalid's death. And the New Black Panther Party went around to various organizations
and shut down discussion. But here in Philadelphia, I was just amazed. The people here came into the Y armed to the teeth. It was a sister, an older sister there. I never forget, she pulled out a 38 special. And I'm looking in her face, and she said, "Baby, you go ahead and speak." I said, "All right." But that was Sam Evans' secretary. Old man Sam Evans. That was his secretary. He came out because something about Philadelphia. When Steve was under threat, I organized brothers here. We went to D.C. We got Steve. We got his daughter. When he went underground for a while, when he came back up, we did the security for him. We went to New York. We spoke. He spoke in New York. We got him out of, let him do his lecture. We got him out of there. And then once he got rolling and we saw the threat was done, he wasn't done, but it had went down. But then he went on to the West Coast. And he went to the West Coast. I don't know. I may have been sick. He had called me, and he said, "Khalil, I'm not feeling well. I'm going to rest." And I was sick. So when I woke up, I went on the internet because he was with this white guy who had put his tapes out over the internet. And the guy said, "Steve Coakley died, excuse me, this afternoon." And the thing about Steve was, and this is one of the things I think that a lot of people miss, when you're involved in struggle, it affects you so personally because sometimes you got to get up and get out of places because it's so hot. But you're leaving relationships behind, support systems behind. And I just felt as though he didn't have that support system. And Philly, the brothers and sisters here was a support, at least on the East Coast, because we would go to New York to make sure he had numbers when he spoke if something went out of whack. His one brother, just love him, his name is called him Happy. His name is Omar. He's fearless brother. And we put him on Steve. Matter of fact, Omar about to fight Steve only because he didn't feel he was hard enough. But, we just have to begin to understand we can't play the cult of personality anymore. It has to be a collective group where everyone has to accept the responsibility. So that way the weight is not on everybody. The one thing that made the Panthers strong, they were after the Panthers. They had safe houses. They had various apparatuses to carry people who were in jeopardy. And even though you had key people, you still had people to take their place. So I just think that we need to get away from that one single leader and start establish organizations so that we don't have colleagues and thieves who wind up getting murdered. Because a lot of stuff stopped when Steve died. A lot of good work that was being done. And have we picked up on what Steve was doing about education, the schools wouldn't be, all these charter schools wouldn't be here, right? Who backs the charter school movement is the same people who started the John Birch Society. There's a group called the Bradley Foundation. Michael Joyce, he's recruiting black people to represent the charter schools, but they all hooked up with the white supremacists, the Koch brothers, and all of them. So we don't know that there's a lot of front people in front of us, but Steve was doing that kind of work. A lot of people backed away from it. And the sad thing that we have now, if you look on the internet, and it breaks my heart to see that our young activists spend more time fighting each other than actually going out here and doing the work. I mean, I don't know if I'm listening to the WWF with the wrestling or are these activists. but it's the personality game. Who's going to be the next big leader? There's never going to be the next big leader because there never was one. You know, people don't understand. If you take the Nation of Islam, there's a process. You got a brother who's processing, a sister who's processing, and then they become FOI, NGT, then they move up the ranks. And we have to understand that we have to build institutions like that so our people can graduate and fulfill positions, but understand that you're no greater than the whole. You know, the reason why, as great as Malcolm was, the nation didn't fall, because Malcolm made men like him. That's the job of an activist. You reproduce yourself in other people. So I believe our job is to make sure that if something happens to me, it should be 3, 4, 5 people who know what I know and can keep on moving. And that's one thing that Steve did. He's the cadre of us. His brother FX and Marcus. Brother Marcus did the expose about the anthrax. And how the Marcus X is out of Chicago. He did the book. The magazine was called FX, and he did an article, Waiting to Exhale, and he talked about how when there was a pedophile ring that was exposed by this journalist, and it was connected to George Bush, Lawrence King. He was a big black Republican out of Nebraska. He would host these parties where they would have sex with children. And it was a black girl, 14-year-old girl, who testified that she saw Daddy Bush have sex with her brother and lost his job. The person who wrote the article got fired. He couldn't get a job, so he started working for one of those gossip newspapers in Florida. They were the first ones that got hit with the anthrax. It was him, and they killed him. And who was in power? The son of the daddy he exposed is on the anthrax there. We organized the blacks in the post office, me and him and DiBernardo, how to deal with anthrax. So a lot of this was happening based off a network of people. You have a lot of brothers in Buffalo who did a lot of, who had followed Steve. And now what you have is they're falling away, and people, a lot of these like right-wing white Christian groups have taken over, calling like music people boulet. Boulet is a post-racial society of educated black people, and generally they control education. Bob Archie was boulet. Rotan Lee allowed me to read his boulet book. He actually gave it to me to read. So, but he was head of the school board, both of them. So you generally find them in education, but it's called neo-colonialism. And one thing Steve said, his power, his focus wasn't to make us fight them, to make them choose a side. Do you want to be with them or do you want to be with us? And that's what we have to understand with the Masons, the all of the fraternities. They have to understand. But then I've been reading some other stuff. You ever hear of Moses Dixon? My grandfather just called himself a Moses Mason. And I would tell Masons about Moses Mason. They said, I never heard of him. But then I read this book about Masonry, black Masonry, and it talked about how the Haitian Revolution, when they left the island of Haiti, they infiltrated the Prince Paul Lodge. And they talked about a brother who was in South Carolina, was the Order of Tabor. And he was a Mason. And he actually organized a group that was going to storm on Atlanta in 1858. And the people in the Union hold off. Wait a minute, just keep organizing because the Civil War about to break out. That's how when they said the blacks joined and won the Civil War for the Union, they were already organized, most of the reason. Well, when you go to South, they use a different book in Masonry from the people in the North. They use the Moses Dixon. So a lot of the civil rights people who were dealing for defense, Robert F. Williams, found out Dr. Muhammad came over my house and he was talking with my mom and he had his book, We Will Return to the Whirlwind. And my mom asked her, what are you doing in the picture with Mr. Rock? She said, this is Robert F. Lewis. She said, I know exactly who he is. I used to sit on his lap as a little girl.
Wow.
He could be with my grandfather. But my grandfather, that's how we came to Philadelphia, he shot a Klansman. But he used to work with Robert F. Lewis. But we need to have that conversation. These people are now in these organizations. Prince Hall called it the African Lodge. It wasn't Prince, it was African. He knew who he was. So we have to understand if the Haitian revolutionary came here and infiltrated the lodge, and they a lot of the slave rebellion came out of that. That's why they punished Haiti so bad, because they snuck in here and they were teaching our people how to wage war. And a lot of these maroons in Georgia and South Carolina come out of that struggle. So we have to understand that history, and then we got to teach these Masons their own history. Because they don't even know it. Right?
But on that note, and we're in the 21st century now, of course, let's see, maybe in 2012, and a lot of the lectures and stuff that we've seen or can see in the late 90s and thereabouts. The point being, yes, we want them to make decisions about, which side are you on?
Exactly.
But I dare say now that in the 21st century, the lines have gone in the sand. And so that decision has got to be now made. Because we're looking at 50 years plus where people just kind of straddle the fence. So we have to create results as a critical mass.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's tenable. As long as we're there, before, and with that, continue on in the spirit of our ancestors. Brother Cousins mentioned something that reminds me of the story of Queen of the War, when you talk about how the elder and the physician who were in the 90s pulled out a pistol.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Queen of the War, when Marcus Garvey, now that Marcus Garvey went down south, and the white folks said, no, you're not going to speak down here. We're not going to let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Queen Mother Moore and the government down here strapped themselves to the sea and got it. And the other Marcus Garvey came and they said, speak, Garvey, speak. And he did.
Wow.
Right? And we're talking about, years ago.
That's right.
So, what is wrong with us now? And again, this is not an advocation of violence.
No.
It's an advocation of self-determination and self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
It's an advocation of us doing what it is we do. That's it. We have people here in Philly who will be working with us with various survival, for lack of a term, but information sets that will be holding in our community starting this summer. How to purify your water, basic first aid, all of these
nature
and
walk. Nature walk.
Need to know basic first aid. We are going to be responsible enough to bring that to you, to us, to our community. We have to know our skills. We have people in our community that have skills, but we're not bringing that together. So essentially, we need to make certain that all of our families, our households, somebody up in here needs to know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make sure of that. Not the system, not the type of person, not the word here, not
exactly.
The person. Not the people. That's what we did last week tonight. So I'm saying that to say, we now have got to take full advantage of what time we now have. Because after 2020, this thing is going to go so far south, and it's going to be downhill, and it ain't even funny. If you think what you see now is the chunk, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Even if they select a so-called Democrat, it will be put people to sleep again.
That's right.
Desensitize them from the concerns and get people ready in this case, just like they did. They can say it's no problem. They're going to put people rightly and ready, believing some nonsense, and then they're going to move in. And how we know this is Baltimore now has, so we say, military forces as part of their police tactics.
They've been doing that
They're just doing it all over.
Right.
So we, but you hear right now, I'm here to student citizens in Baltimore, at Johns Hopkins, and the student citizens last Wednesday, because they're saying they do not want any more hospitalizations in their area of their campus with cops. Right now.
But that's part of the chaos. That's part of the chaos.
Yeah, it's a part of the heat out and rent.
Right before.
Right? Under what's the name?
Daddy Bush.
My point is, what is my point? Do we have a plan? And I'm going to answer no. We all do is pray.
That's what we do. We got a plan.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to pray right Jesus and get him out to work.
Well, I'm just saying. He's going to be out. And this is why, again, I make an appeal to our mothers in a different way. And that is because what I've learned is that for black women, if they don't do anything else, they'll pop up in the chair.
That's right.
I learned that from Harvard. I thought I was ready to do some stuff for real forever.
Yeah.
Nope. But if you put it in the context of, then it becomes a different story. And it should be, but that's not what it is. So with that said, we're implementing our homeschool program in September. We're going to do these sessions of regularization in our community, rec center, libraries, whatever. We're going to be supporting black businesses for them. And so if this will fill out your name and stuff on there, please make sure you send me.
He's a serious guy. But
they took down a lot of his people, and his wife just got to re up the. Because if
you're
speaking the truth, they
want
to take it down.
Well, you know, we're ready. Like I said, we've been working kind of like underground in the past couple of years. Because after I got infiltrated the first time around, I said, let me take heed. So we kind of waited, and we've been organizing from the ground now. And we've been in the United Nations now for 5 years. So we now have a president of our country, which is what we want to do. Because you don't fight this beast and not have some other kind of things that you need to put in place. So we learned that. So just like on our radio program last week, we had a sister called from Cameroon. And it's because we have to connect our movement internationally. If something happens to me, see, now I can come forward if there's enough information, enough people in another location. So what that means is, if something happens to me, that's a trigger.
We're out.